You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, guys, and welcome to December. We are about to have a kind of a nostalgic month, a family month, if you want to. This is Thomas's choice. Thomas and I, if you have listened, almost every episode Thomas has been on, well, at least every Muppisode we've done, Thomas has been on. And we've talked about it on his podcast, and it's a lot of fun. The Muppets kind of symbolize a kind of family entertainment that does not exist very often. And having done this now for 40 years or so, the Muppets are kind of a classic, and they're some of my favorite characters. So enjoy. We're going to have a whole month of the Muppets. We were going to initially do a different choice for the beginning of this month, but then Carol Spinney, the guy who does the voice of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, announced he was going to retire after doing it since Sesame Street began. And being part of the Children's Television Workshop and the Muppets from very early on as well. So with that in mind, we are doing this kind of very dark, actually for a kid's movie, melancholy version of a kid running away movie starring Big Bird called Follow That Bird. It's not the easiest movie to find, but it's on Amazon, so enjoy. I really like this movie. It was very heartwarming, and there's some incredible musical numbers, which we'll get into. If you're listening to this when it comes out, which is December 6th, I believe, I will be performing with Cineprov in Santa Claus versus the Devil, or Santa Claus versus Satan, which is a really bad movie. So come out to the plaza and see us, and enjoy the month. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. And I can't wait to get back to my real home on Sesame Street. I figure I can walk back there in, about 3 hours.
3 hours? More like 3 weeks, buddy.
3 weeks? Oh, no. I'll never get home.
Sure you will. You just gotta keep going. Pick up your feet and follow your beat.
I don't know.
Listen to me, son.
I found out a long time ago. You gotta learn to say yes when life says no. Don't dwell on the bad times once they're past.
Greetings, Starfighters. It's Sean from the Rusted Robot Podcast. Join me and the Rusty crew as we break down the latest geeky movie trailers, talk about TV, comics, toys, games, casting news, and all things nerdy. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the ESO Network, and at therustedrobot.podbean.com. The Rusted Robot Podcast, your source for geek since 2014.
The Rusted Robot Podcast. Think about it.
Just keep your eye on where you're bound.
And you're bound to get from here to there. Cause a dream can take you anywhere.
Whoa, take me to cookies. Cause there ain't no...
Welcome to Miami to Invent Your Childhood. This month, because he's a poo head, Thomas chose the Muppet for a theme this month, and we're starting off that Muppet theme with Follow That Bird, and he didn't bother to show up, so I'm introducing his movie series because screw him. We were going to start with The Great Muppet Caper, which, stay tuned, it's still a good movie. However, with Carol Spinney, the voice of Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch, announcing a week before we recorded this that he was going to retire, we decided to switch it up and do 1985's Follow That Bird, the reason why kids today are okay with Zoloft. I'm Nick Hoffman, your host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood and Riffer, award-winning comedian on Cineprov. And on panel we have...
Hello, this is Daniel. And I gotta say, I believe that the birds should stay with their own families because that's the only way we're gonna stay pure. Otherwise, we're just a bunch of globalist cucks, damn it.
Oh... I'm broken. I am Charlie Rose. I really just don't have anything clever to say after that.
I mean, how could you?
How could I?
Yeah, Alex J. Bird here on the microphone.
Damn it, birds should stay with their own kind. That's the only proper way that God intended.
How do you not lose your voice? I like on my last Cineprov riff, I tried to do Clinton for 6 minutes and I got kind of like a pat on the shoulder, like, Nick, you're done.
Yeah, no, I remember. Well, it was a good try there, buddy.
I was about a soggy blanket away from a Big Mac. That was my Bill Clinton. So Follow That Bird is, well, I mean, this isn't one where we have to defend. This was my emergency choice because I thought it would be not only perfectly appropriate, but I remember loving the hell out of this movie.
This was the first time I ever saw it.
Well, this will be an interesting comparison then because, I mean, Charlie and I talked about this beforehand. Like, this is his real slice of life. Like, this is his. We owned a VHS copy of this, as I'm sure your family did, because they didn't show this, right?
Yeah. Was it yellow? Because if the VHS copy was not yellow, this would have been a wasted opportunity.
I don't believe it was.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, the idea that PBS could afford anything that fancy in 1985.
Well, this was a WB movie, which they could definitely afford that.
That's true. It's very Warner Brothers, isn't it?
Well, they say that at the beginning that Sesame Street is bought to you by the letters W and B.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that.
That's right.
That is a soggy moment in this movie.
There were a lot of times they had puns, and I was just going, boo.
Well,
puns are perfect for this type of a movie.
Yes.
How can you boo puns in a Muppet movie?
Well, and
easily.
Hey, and B, the other answer to this is it being a Shrek movie and it just going for the fart jokes, which it just can't do. I mean, one day I'll drag myself to do the third Shrek movie, maybe as a riff, because whatever. But like, the first and the second one are successful billion-dollar films, effectively, right? But it is, it's not a movie for kids. It pretends to be for kids, and then it just makes an outdated Smash Mouth or Macarena reference.
First one was for kids. The second one, not so much.
They're awful movies, and they're rebooting them, okay? We'll deal with that when we get to it.
Oh, you know who's the director of the new Grinch movie that's just come out?
I can't even be bothered.
The producer of Clerks, Scott Mosier.
No.
Yeah. Because I listened to Smodcast, and they talk about it there.
And he said, gee, this was a good career move, or?
Basically, yeah, because he's basically like, okay, this is a Grinch movie. Even if it's as bad, it's going to make $1 billion.
It will not. I can 100% guarantee. I mean, you can put Benedict Cumberbatch doing his best Hugh Laurie American accent in anything you want. It's not going to make $1 billion. $1 billion. Is he an Avenger?
I mean, that's just what was said on the podcast. I don't know what to tell you.
So let's talk about
low-cost animation, lots of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost as bad of a review as the Jim Carrey one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that was hugely successful, too, back in the day, remember?
I can't. I mean, I'm a big fan of AV Club's Nathan Rabin. He said it was the worst movie ever made.
I love Nathan Rabin myself, but I kind of disagree with him there.
I mean, because I've seen Rent.
I've seen Scooby-Doo.
I've seen the sequel to Scooby-Doo.
All right. Before we go down this hole of really bad movies.
All right. Why don't you give us a plot summary, Charlie?
Oh, okay. All right. So it starts out with Sesame Street, you know, being Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Cut to a panel of like Star Chamber type of assortment of birds.
Mm-hmm.
The Feathered Friends Society. And they identify that they're going to go in, and they are well-intentioned birds, and we know what that means. They were going to give a orphan a home. And since Big Bird is 6 years old and an orphan, he needs to have a home with birds. Because, well, why not? I mean
because something needs to start this movie.
Yeah, something
needs to start this movie. We need to do something. Lorraine Newman needs to be in this movie, damn it.
So basically, they show up. The Hot Lips O'Houlihan, Miss Finch convinces Big Bird that Big Bird needs to go with her to the new family.
Now, why wasn't she called Miss Duke?
I don't know. So she takes Big Bird to his new family, the Dodos, and they are a bunch of dodo birds.
Yeah.
And so they're they do a lots of inane things. They run around the yard. They peck at worms. They really just are mundane, boring, and unimaginative.
Yeah.
Literally, because I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, there's a scene where Big Bird asks them to play make-believe where they're Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and the two dodo children are like, but I'm not a dwarf. I'm a dodo.
Exactly. I saw like imagination die right in front of my eyes in that scene. Then Big Bird just decides that he is not right for this family and wants to go back to his true family on Sesame Street. And thus begins the truly epic and enjoyable part of the movie where Big Bird starts going back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And the residents of Sesame Street try to meet Big Bird in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, does anybody living on Sesame Street have a job?
Yes. Oh, my God. Because Maria and Gordon have a fix-it shop?
Yes. And is it Bob that has the store?
The store.
So there's jobs.
And this is supposed to be in Harlem. So it's just a neighborhood, right? Like Sesame Street is supposed to be Harlem. And We'll get to it now. In fact, the part Charlie and I were texting when we watched this, and at one point Big Bird writes a letter home after he's trying to fit in, and the whole letter is a montage of scenes where they're doing aerobics and they're klutzy and like he's just trying but he's not fitting in. And so Maria is reading this letter to the children and other Muppets of Sesame Street, and he goes, "So that's my new home. I should be happy here. Pause.
But I'm not.
What's wrong with me?" Love Big Dodo, and that's the thing. Also, what's wrong with me? This movie is about white supremacy and depression.
Well, you know the problem, folks, is that the bird folk try and move the bird folk to another bird city.
I'm sorry, but I think Alex Jones would be fine with him keeping with his own kind.
The yellows should stay with the yellows.
There's a caravan of birds migrating from the south right now, coming to our American borders.
This man is a lizard clone of me, and I gotta say, the birds are not the problem that are coming up from the south. The problem is this yellow bird, in this case, that's trying to invade New York.
Okay, here's the problem. The votes are just not adding up with these birds. Where are the birds gonna vote next? I just don't know.
Need to keep the lights on here, folks. So if you want to donate to get this bird back to Harlem, just check out birdrun.com and you can donate there.
You were this close.
Okay.
Alex Jones has a Patreon going.
So what's wrong with me? Wrecked me. Go on.
From here, let's just talk about this movie. It starts off with the Grouch national anthem.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, reminiscent of Patton.
I've got to say, I didn't feel the emotional connection to the Sesame Street characters that I ever felt to the Muppet characters. I don't know why. I think Cookie Monster's kind of freaky myself, but
he does eat a Volkswagen.
I love Oscar. I love Oscar so much, and this is a great way to open a movie.
Why am I unsurprised by this, Mr.
I know.
Curmudgeon?
I've read some of your reviews. It makes sense.
It's trash. I went full on Harvey Firestein. Oh my God, it's trash.
Oh my God, it's such trash. Oh my God.
You went Lunch Lady Doris by the end there. So we have the Grouch National Anthem, and then it cuts to Lazy Sesame Street, and I love it. There's something about when this movie kind of kicks up and you're just like, why is Oscar? Oh, it's Oscar.
Well, doesn't it kick to like the conference of birds who are talking about Big Bird living on Sesame Street alone? Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to Sesame Street.
Well, I will say.
Well, remember, it has to go to the introduction to Sesame Street is, can you tell me how to get.
Yes.
To Sesame Street.
Oh, I booed at that moment.
How dare you?
I did, because it was such a dumb reference.
No wonder Oscar the Grouch is your patron saint.
Uh-huh. But here's the thing. I'm with Charlie on this one, but it's because you can't have a Sesame Street movie without starting with a Muppet.
Yeah.
So when you're going to introduce these new characters, which are fine, I mean, you have to have a plot. You can't just do what you would do otherwise. They then go to Oscar, to this panel of birds, which is,
I don't know, it's whatever, it's the Klan.
Well, Miss Finch is like the lead of this panel, and she's the one who suggests that Big Bird living on Sesame Street needs to go live with his own kind.
Right. And then other than them, the cast is pretty much like a mixture of Second City and then just comedy dicking around. It's Sandra Bernhardt, it's Chevy Chase, it's Dave Thomas, it's Joe Flaherty. It's kind of the best.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, man, seeing Bob McKenzie and Guy Caballero together was amazing.
Wow.
Seeing them together again at last.
And and they're doing their team comedy stuff. That's what makes all of this work.
Chevy Chase as the newscaster.
Oh, referencing Mr. Rogers.
Right.
Now for the weather. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And I had feels the whole time. Because like the second... Well, okay, let's just go really quick. Big Bird is at the house. He doesn't like it. We read the letter from Maria. But, I mean, it's a bunch of bit gags. Like you said, Lorraine Newman is the mom. Eddie Deason is one of the kids.
Oh, the kids are named Donnie and Marie. Eddie Deason is Donnie.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God.
Which is... It's not even a lazy gag, because it's a kid's movie. It's all about... It's just weird, because... They're all weird. All these characters are weird. The dodos might be the most unsettling characters in the whole thing. And we end up in a bar filled with grouches, or a diner filled with grouches.
Oh, later on.
With
yes,
Sandra Bernhardt. I mean, that inspired right there.
It's
Sandra
reboost.
Sandra Bernhardt was the waitress?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome.
She's brilliant.
Big Bird runs away after sending that letter. And it becomes a mad, 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 mad world.
It really does.
Let's cut in beforehand, because one of the whole things was that Big Bird told Mr. Snuffleupagus or
Snuffleupagus. Snuffy.
Snuffleupagus, you
Snuffy.
Philistine.
Yeah.
Snuffleupagus?
Yeah.
Snuffy. Snuffleupagus.
Okay, Snuffy. Yeah. Snuffy, his imaginary friend, to watch over his nest on Sesame Street. And then... Snuffy writes a postcard to the dodo saying, "Hey, can I come visit?" And the dodos say no, at which point Big Bird says, "I need to go back to Sesame Street."
Exactly right. And this, as you remember as a Sesame Street fan, is when they started to make him less imaginary and more real.
Right, exactly.
Because he used to be like an imaginary friend, and then they kind of bled that over into being real.
Did you ever hear about that?
Well, they didn't want kids to feel like no one's going to listen to them if they have a story to tell.
Exactly right.
Did you ever hear that story of the Sesame Street episode they banned?
There's probably more than one, because I know at one point Vincent Price gets bitten by Kermit.
I'm pretty sure that was a Muppet Show episode, but the one I'm talking about is this episode arc where Snuffy's parents would get a divorce.
No kidding.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, no, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
They filmed it, and then they showed it to kids, and kids were traumatized, so they banned it.
Alrighty. But let's talk. We talked briefly about all the guest stars and all the magic and wonder, but we didn't talk about the most important part, which is, you had Waylon Jennings.
Yep.
And he leads into I would say the first song, the Grouch National Anthem is probably the first song, but the real first song is probably Ain't No Road Too Long. And
yeah.
I loved that song.
Yeah. So Big Bird, about, I don't know, 20 minutes in, is skipping down the road. He's getting tired. He comes across someone who's, hauling birds? It's chickens.
Yeah, chickens.
Chickens.
And it's Waylon Jennings.
Yes, it is.
And they break into a duet, which is fantastic.
Awesome. It's magical.
On the road again.
Not that song. Ain't No Road Too Long. And it was beautiful.
And again, this is one of those moments where I texted Charlie and... It was the best.
Yeah, it really was.
I hadn't seen this in at least 25 years, and I remembered every word of it.
Miss Finch was the doctor in Back to School, right?
Well, yes, but most importantly, she was Hot Lips O'Houlihan from MASH.
She was.
Yes,
in fact, she was.
Yep.
And at this point, they kind of trip along. Like, we have three cars going. We have the Count, who we never see.
That's true. And he was also by himself, and so I wondered... Why? But I guess they had to, equal opportunity. Can't leave the Count out.
Right. And he comes back and does the credits for us, which is
magical.
Which is the best.
Yeah.
Three producers, one too many. Then we have Gordon, Maria, and no, that's not true. It's Gordon and someone else who's, I don't remember from the show.
but I'm sure she was.
I remember Gordon from the show back in the day.
Well, because Gordon was there forever.
Yeah. Oh, well, Gordon and
Olivia.
Olivia.
According to the Tribune, it's Olivia.
Along with Cookie Monster, who eats most of the car. Mm-hmm. Super Grover goes and flies around this whole time.
Right.
Bert and Ernie have a biplane.
Yep.
Because, again, it's a mad world at this point.
Oscar the Grouch has the sloppy jalopy.
I remember back in the day there was an episode with that car, and Gordon desperately wanted to get to an NBA game, and he didn't make it.
The sloppy jalopy. That right there, that's everything.
That is a cosplay for Dragon Con someone should have done
for the parade. Driving the sloppy jalopy in the parade.
And it needs to backfire every 25 feet.
Yep.
And the thing looks like a melted, it's like the car the Beverly Hillbillies came in on, but like worse. it's Robusto. The thing is magic.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's amazing how all these songs just came back to me when I was listening to this movie. I actually went to see it in the theaters when it first came out.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, my grandmother, I was 10. I was 10, so I was a little aged out, but my grandmother was taking me and a couple of my cousins, and they were the perfect age for Sesame Street. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed it as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was just, they did a fantastic job of really making this an all ages enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's basically the Muppet movie, except in reverse, with the Muppets trying to get back home instead of to be big stars.
And it works because if you don't know these characters, they're still charming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And. Indeed.
Except the Count. The Count kind of doesn't work unless you know.
That's why they edited him out. Hmm. Right? I mean, like, because he's effectively not in this movie until he gets his one gag at the end, which is that apparently vampires are supposed to be OCD in the traditional lore.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so throughout the whole thing, like, there's just bits. Halfway through, Cookie Monster gets hungry, so he starts eating the car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Halfway through,
do you think Gordon has good car insurance?
Oh,
on the street.
Being from a shitty neighborhood in Harlem, absolutely not. No, this is 1985. No one has car insurance.
Exactly. Especially if you lived in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will say, like, just as a fan of puppetry, it's awesome how the car is clearly just a skosh bigger so someone can lie in the bottom and do the puppet work. Because Cookie Monster's literally eating holes out of the hood of the car. And since it's a bug, the trunk is in the front and the engine's in the back. So he's sticking his head up through the front of the car and turning his head around and looking through, like, the windshield. And it's great. Like, every bit of that is great.
Well, it becomes a plot point later because in order to rescue Big Bird, spoilers, they rescue Big Bird.
Yeah, no kidding.
Where Gordon has to stick his head through a hole that Cookie Monster chewed through the roof.
Yeah.
And put a sunroof in it.
You bring up an important point. I mean, this movie has a fantastic plot of them trying to meet up and reclaim Big Bird. But it introduces an element of danger via the Sleaze Brothers. Mm. You know, it's a part that it's a plot line that didn't have to be in the movie for the movie to be great, but this actually just makes it even better.
Well, I never knew Rex Banner could be so evil.
the Sleaze Brothers, these are the ones that I was saying were SCTV kind of alumni. But you have Dave Thomas, who plays kind of the smart brother, the conniving business brother type. Wearing a fedora with blonde, really bad-looking blonde hair. Joe Flaherty, his redneck brother in overalls. And they run a really sketchy, like, fair thing.
Well, it's called the Fun Fair. But it was so adorable because when they were showing the sign, the F fell off, so it was the unfair.
Hey.
Whackety-schmackety-doo.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, and it's that perfect amount of, like,
kid understandable menace. It's like what on rewatch, one of my favorite ones of these is the Beethoven movies. Stay tuned. But like David Duchovny showing up as the mean boss for dinner when Charles Grodin owns the. How is Charles Grodin not the mean boss? It's David Duchovny.
Wait. David Duchovny was in the Beethoven movies?
In the first one, he's the boss who comes to dinner.
Wait, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, good Lord. Goodness. Stay tuned.
But it's just, that's what it is. It's like you have these like two charming Canadians, like. Like who are a bear, like the hintest, the like the wettest whiff of menace.
Well, like I said, it's Bob McKenzie and Guy Caballero. It's the same characters that they were playing on SCTV.
Well, they
except
were
set malicious, evil.
Yeah. Well,
malicious,
they were okay.
Thank you.
They're not evil. They're not really. Well, they're malicious, but they are just dumb mustache twirlers. Yeah. I mean, they are so. I'm bad.
I mean, they practically do that bit.
In fact, I think they actually do. Yeah.
They did.
Well, I mean, in fact, at one point, people are trying to rescue Big Bird, and they just literally are sleeping in the truck.
Uh-huh.
Like as though the revenuers are going to come and get them.
Well, that was funny because Dave Thomas was like sleeping on a bunch of single dollar bills.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, there was stack like $20 there, but he was already singing about how rich he was. Good Lord, is the exchange rate in Canada that bad at this point?
Well, they're convinced that getting Big Bird and putting him in a cage and painting him blue is going to make them millions of dollars.
Oh, let's
the
go
blue bird of happiness.
The blue bird of happiness.
Let's go ahead and talk about that. That was the saddest goddamn thing.
Oh my gosh.
It is one of the saddest things we've actually talked about.
Yeah, it really is.
It's magnificent.
This is like that scene in the aquarium in Happy Feet. That's like, it's that type of soul-crushing sad.
I'm thinking
from the director of Mad Max Fury Road.
Which is Happy also Feet. Sad in its own way. I'm thinking more of the ending of Iron Giant.
Oh. Home run? Is that his last word?
No following.
No following.
Why you gotta break my heart
like
that?
Superman. Right as the bomb is about to hit
him. Yeah. You're right.
Superman.
Up in the way.
But that's the sort of tone they're going for in this Boeing, because Big Bird becomes a carnival performer and...
A carny,
and he's been painted
blue. And you just don't get that stink off. Once a carny, man, like, he's like, I can't go home. What will my friends say?
Exactly. He smells like cabbage now.
I am the son / nephew of carnies, folks, and I turned out okay.
So when he sees literal hobgoblins hobbling around, it's just his kinfolk?
That's why I believe in the lizard folk that live at the center of the world.
They're just the carnies who escaped you. At this point, the world is collapsing, right? This is the end of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, where all the cars have caught up with each other.
Well, it's strange because... Oscar the Grouch was like just going to a bunch of Grouch locations as opposed to trying to find Big Bird, but he somehow still manages to find Big Bird. He's like in the junkyard, and then have we talked about that scene in the Grouch Diner?
Oh, let's hit the Grouch Diner.
Yes, the Grouch Diner.
So we have this is where Sandra Bernhardt is the Grouch waitress,
and Paul Bartel is the Grouch cook.
And it's all puns.
It's all puns.
It's all food that sounds gross, but it's not real gross. It's like.
It's just all mismatched. So there's like, Jesus.
It was like a chicken with toffee or something like caramel.
Exactly. And steak topped with honey and
mayonnaise.
Or,
I mean, it's stuff like that. And then, of course, there's tossed salad.
Oh, it sounded delicious.
Exactly. And Maria was so happy that something that won't kill me.
Hey, make that two tossed salads.
And all of a sudden, Paul Bartel, in a scene that was straight from You Can't Do That on Television.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stole
No, please,
thunder.
Please.
I mean, he loads up this catapult and shoots it across the diner. And then it's toss salad for everyone. Oh. And, you know, Les is flying all over the place.
You know, Kelsey Grammer saw this in 1985 and decided this is going to be the inspiration for my show. Paul Bartel just needs to toss scrambled eggs.
You got there. It was a long walk, but
wow,
you got there.
Wow, that was impressive.
But you're right. This is, we're already knee-deep in Canadian. Of course, it's I Can't Do That on Television. I mean, this whole thing is a family double dare bit.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Summers is rubbing his hands together. and then cleaning them, and then immediately washing them because he just couldn't see that much mayonnaise. But
because Oscar's sushi like, with we've Parmesan done so many things and maple syrup. Is exactly. That what Paul
but he's just
Mark
like
Summers was all about.
We've done so many things. I've made him just Jersey. We've done so many things you like. We're going to do one thing I want, which is this horrible diner.
Hey, I like this food.
They did a fantastic job of that.
That's the bit. Like, because, yeah. I mean, that's how it's a mad, 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 mad world works. Everything is bits, like,
right. Yeah.
And the best ones are the bits that aren't even completed. Like, although, we don't see how it ends, right?
Well, yeah. Although in the case of the diner, this kind of reminded me of the Muppet Movie bit where Kermit goes into that rough
bar and
has
to perform.
Yeah. And has to perform, and then Fozzie's there and says drinks on the house, and then that whole thing. It's kind of just following that same template.
Well, no shit.
It's a winning template, though.
Right.
Yeah, but. I don't know. We'd already seen it. The Muppets had done two other movies since then.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is 12-year-old, but I mean, it's also, they're not the ones who came up with it. I mean, again, it's a mad, 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 mad world. It's in the late 60s.
Oh, why wasn't Jerry Lewis in this movie then?
Because they didn't ask him back.
Why, my Glavin, Big Bird, you got to get back to Sesame Street.
But I mean, like, but that's what it is, right? Because, like, it's a mad, 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 mad world. The best bit, at least for me, is when there's a fire and the Three Stooges show up as the firemen. Yeah. But they don't do anything. They just cut away, right? That's what this is.
Yeah.
The second the joke is over, they move on. And that keeps it to a nice, tight 85 minutes.
Yeah.
I kind of liked all the bits in the mad, 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 mad world. I forget how many mads there are. I think 5.
It's a mad, 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 mad man. That's the one with, what's his name? And John Hamm is the star of It's a Mad, 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 Mad Man. Yeah. And
with the bits where they're abusing the mother-in-law, like, constantly.
That's such a good movie. I saw the movie, the 2000s equivalent, Rat Race.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy,
Whoopi Goldberg has been in a movie right there. Since. Oof. I was told I was a very polite young man in that movie. Don't know why. I was laughing like an asshole. Anyway,
that's probably why you were called polite.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, Big Bird escapes. He gets captured by the Spinelli brothers or.
Sleaze Brothers.
Sleaze Brothers. I was watching UHF before you guys came
out. There you go.
Whatever.
Stanley Spadowski.
Spadowski. You won a fire hose. Yay! Now,
you found the marble in the oatmeal.
Gross.
Oh.
Gross. Waylon Jennings had a song. We get the I'm So Blue song, which broke all of us because I'm not made of stone.
Oh, God. No. That,
John
that.
Stone wrote the song, but I'm not made of stone.
Oh, God. That was a depressing thing.
And then from there, we have a bunch of kids bust him out. There's a, like... And then it becomes a chase scene.
Yep.
Well, there's that bit where Big Bird's trying to jump out of the cage that he's trapped in, and Gordon's encouraging him, but he can't fly, so he's scared.
Well, he said, you're not supposed to stand in a moving car.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch of moments like that where Big great. Bird's just kind of...
He's 6.
I know, but...
You have no soul, Daniel.
It's great, I tell you. I don't know. They really come through with the story, and they have... two antagonists throughout it. You've got Miss Finch. You've got the Sleaze Brothers. They wrap up the Sleaze Brothers really nicely.
With John Candy.
With John Candy.
Bobby LaRue thwarts Guy Caballero once again.
Well, and it's just, it's literally, there's like, this little black kid who got screwed over by the brothers, and he's sitting scowling in the sidecar.
Oh, that's the kid that, what is it? Dave Thomas steals an apple from his lunchbox?
That's exactly right. It's like the second scene because they have to be evil. Not evil, but there's like evil for no reason. And he might as well take the kid's juice box while he's at it. Like,
well, originally he was like trapped on the Ferris wheel and they charged him to get down.
That's exactly right. Okay. It's news for today, but apparently the county fair in Tampa, Florida... all went to shit, and there's like 20 different injuries because 5 different rides broke down today. And I'm just like, It's a county fair, guys.
In Florida, no less.
But that's what this is. Like, yeah. It's just like, as the Ferris wheel's going around, it's like herky-jerky, and it keeps stopping. And they're like, are you going to let me down? It goes, it'll be $5 to let you down, or whatever the line is. It's 1985, so it's like 6 cents or whatever.
Yeah,
like
it's 10 cents.
10 cents for the round trip.
It's a good gag. Oh,
it is.
A
rip-off.
What?
It's just a bunch of sassy kids. And the kids actually get lines, which is well done.
Well, yeah, here's the big thing is after the whole Sleaze Brothers bit, because Big Bird jumps out of the cage and the Sleaze Brothers get pulled over, they make it back to Sesame Street, and Miss Finch follows them, and then there's that whole dialogue about family.
Yeah. Which is sweet.
And they do, you know, they wrap up the Sleaze Brothers perfectly, and then back at Sesame Street, they wrap up the whole Miss Finch storyline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she comes to the understanding that Sesame Street is a family for Big Bird.
Miss Finch got bought out by the globalists. Well, she just doesn't realize that we need to all stick with our own kinds, because that's the way to remain strong, folks.
We are cutting the funding from PBS because the B is for birds, and the P is for preverts, and the S is for system. So you just got perverted birds, and we're paying it with government money.
There's a perverted bird outside the window right now, folks, and it's been stalking me for the past 4 days, and it intends to make love.
Well, and I think you're touching upon an important part, is that Sesame Street is delightfully subversive.
It is.
I mean, and this movie does not fail.
It took me a while to realize how subversive it is, like you said, because when I was a kid, I watched it, but like in the first and second grade, they like still try and show it to us before classes start, and it's like, well, that's kind of for babies, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and I had students when I was teaching out in, rural Georgia, whose parents did not let them watch Sesame Street because they taught too much about sharing.
That's how the commies get us.
Those subversive attitudes of like being nice, sharing, loving your neighbor.
Well, I mean, like for example, Louise is back at the store, at the corner store, like Hooper's store. And they have this kind of clear plastic map of the U.S., and Big Bird gets sent to what's effectively Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ocean supposed, View or
Ocean,
something.
Ocean View, Illinois. Which is such a great gag.
That was funny.
And the kid who's helping him move the things around is clearly handicapped, right? He's in a wheelchair or he's on crutches the whole time. Never mentioned once.
Well, isn't there a deaf character who's like saying bye to Big Bird?
Right, and all of them can sign.
Yeah.
Everyone is signing to each other because, again, you have deaf characters. Never mentioned.
Inclusiveness is a cornerstone of Sesame Street. And they really, they delivered on the values of Sesame Street. And I think that's what makes this movie so great.
With that as your thought, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot to say. It's a kid's movie that's 84 minutes. We've talked for 37. Charlie boy?
Okay. So, as I've said, you know, they take the values of Sesame Street. They deliver on those values. That's the important part. They also take some of the really educational stuff. They set it aside because this is supposed to be a show for all ages, a movie for all ages. The gags are amazing. The bits are wonderful. Upside Down World with Bert and Ernie. Oh, I just giggled through that.
Come on.
With the biplane and everything is fantastic.
Yeah.
The music was wonderful. It hit all the notes. Perfection. Absolute perfection.
Perfect. Daniel?
Well, you shouldn't be fooled, folks. This is propaganda in order to encourage the globalists to take over our children. I mean, we all need to stick with our own kind, and the fact that this movie is trying to discourage that is just shill. It's shill for George Soros, folks.
All right, I'm going to be serious for a second.
They were both good people on both sides of that argument.
All right, I thought it was charming. Like I said, I didn't feel the same emotional connection with the Sesame Street characters that I felt with the Muppets in general, because I think they lasted a little too long. But now is the time in my life where I'm realizing just how important those characters are. I mean, their messages are simple, but at the same time, they're still necessary for a lot of people. And I think this movie delivers on that. I mean, it's still very charming, and the songs are very effective, and the story is very effective for what it is. So if you're a new parent who wants to introduce their kids to what the Muppets are and why they're special, this is the perfect opportunity to do so.
Thank you. My final thought is you can tell how good a movie is by who's willing to actually show up. The Muppets are notorious, infamous, whatever you want to say, for getting a lot of guest stars. And generally it's because everyone's mildly charmed by the Muppets. But we've done movies like this before, like Casper, where people loved Casper. They had no idea what they were getting into as a garbage movie.
I think my personal favorite is Mel Brooks showing up in The Little Rascals.
Perfect example. Or Donald J. Trump showing up in The Little Rascals.
Oh, boy.
But my thing about this is people don't just appear in a cameo. They show up for this movie. You don't get Waylon Jennings to show up in a kid's movie, right? Like he's the alcoholic grandpa of country music in 1985, right? And he nails it, right? John Candy did a lot, but he's not like Daniel Stern doing kids' movies. So I was charmed with this movie. I thought it would be Under Us, but I had in the back of my mind, like, I remember a lot of this, I think. And everything from, like, scenes out of North by Northwest where they're nearly running him down to, like, just gags. There's actual gags in this movie.
Well, I mean, you're right. They remade It's a Mad, 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 Mad World to do this, which in and of itself no kid would get.
I'm utterly charmed by this movie. It used to be harder to find, but actually now you can find it. It's on Amazon. I got it on Vudu for a few bucks. Like, it's actually something I'd rather watch again as a kid's movie than, like, what is it, Elmo and Grouchland? Like, a lot of those, because those aren't movies. Those are extended episodes of Sesame Street, which is fine. But this actually is a movie with a plot. So credit where credit's due. Thumbs up. So stay tuned next week. We'll be doing another Muppet movie. We're doing a weird one. We're doing Muppets in Space. So stay tuned next week and every future week when we crack out an Alex Jones impression.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
I can't wait to get back to my real home on Sesame Street. I figure I can walk back there in, about 3 hours.
3 hours? More like 3 weeks, buddy.
3 weeks? Oh, no. I'll never get home.
Sure you will. You just gotta keep going. Pick up your feet. Follow your beat.
Oh, I don't know.
Listen to me, son.
I found out a long time ago. You gotta learn to say yes when life says...
Myopia Defend Your Childhood is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Candace Burns, and executive produced by Nick Hoffman and Candace Burns. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Thomas Herman. We are a proud member of the ESO Network and a product of Do Better Podcasting. Our theme is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomptech.com. It is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3 license. And thanks!
Don't look back, don't you turn around.
Just keep your eye on where you're bound.
And you're bound to get from here to there. Cause a dream can take you anywhere.
Whoa, take me to cookies.
Cause there ain't no mountain you can't climb. If you hang on tight and just make up your mind.
And once you set your heart to moving on, hut, hut, then there is no road too long. And you can count the telephone poles. One telephone pole, two telephone poles, three telephone poles, four telephone poles.
Oscar, this isn't Route 12.
Oh,
no. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. I never promised you a road, sir.
Well, we're going to find him, all right, Bert.
Yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.